Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Hello, my name is Justin McClue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Bay Street Video Podcast, where we go through all of the week's new Blu-rays and DVDs.
All of them?
Oh, man, I got myself all screwed up. Notable.
Imagine.
Blu-rays and DVDs.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day.
How we used to do it?
We used to do it. I was just like, remember our old shows and everything?
And you,
wow, we used to power through like 50 titles sometimes.
And you knew them all.
I tried.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it was like, here's like a foreign film that, you know, here's a French film that I don't know much about. All right, on to the next one.
Yeah. Well, I guess we just didn't kind of hover on any film.
Yeah,
have
we
any
just rapid
we
fire,
right to the next
remember?
One.
We didn't even have a blind buy for the first like few months or something. Yeah.
The blind buy was
better.
One of the
better.
Ways that we could slow down and talk about a title.
This is good. But still a lot of stuff out this week, though. This is kind of like
the
end of October.
Sold
sort of.
Out. So I'm hovering. There's Ghost Blu-rays in front of us.
Blu-rays.
What are the
we'll
ones
try
that
and
I'm
remember.
Missing?
We saw. I mean, the ones we sold out of, we had like two copies of or something.
Hey,
so,
don't take it away from them. So what do you got?
That we sold out of?
Yeah. There was
Smokey and the Judge with Alien Thunder.
Okay. So I picked this up. This is a Dark Force release.
This is a Dark Force release.
And
yeah.
What Dark Force does, they picked up the kind of mantle from Scorpion, I think, was doing it. And unfortunately,
well,
that guy passed away.
Put out, or maybe it was Code Red, put out a DVD of Alien Thunder at some point.
Yes.
Because that's like a Canadian.
And Smokey and the Judge is supposedly kind of like a lost film. It was made for a, like, I think an all-women band stars in it.
Okay.
And I didn't watch it. It's interesting, but they
but
say
bought
that,
it.
That's like the push on the disc of like, this is the one that you want to check out.
Okay.
And then Alien Thunder is a Canadian Western starring Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
What a weird double bill. That's like whatever we have.
Well, it's part of their, they have that line, the drive-in double features.
Whatever 35mm prints we can get, we put them out.
Which I don't usually sell a lot of copies of. So I didn't bring
no
it.
No way that Alien Thunder is in the public domain.
I don't know.
You know what? It must be, and that's why Code Red put it out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That must. But I remember, because we rent that disc, mainly because it was just like Canadian and has Donald Sutherland. And I think it's a pretty good transfer and everything.
It is a good transfer.
Some good work
that's where
it.
I watched it.
Yeah, yeah,
It looks good. I thought that Elephant put that out.
Right.
Because I think it's directed by the guy who runs Elephant. I might be mistaken. But now you get it in, they're like, the inner negative. It's like, all right, slow down.
Sure.
It's probably on like 16mm too, but it's out. You sold out, probably because you only had two copies.
Well, I have three, but
one of them was sold
somebody
to me.
Here bought a copy in advance. No, that's good. I want you to.
And what are the other ones that we're missing?
We're just missing one more. Oh, well, we're missing a few. We're missing All the Boys Love Mandy Lane,
which got a
Vision reprint, but that's been out on Blu-ray before. Mm. I like it. But
I feel
Justin's
like we've talked about it on Blu-ray, haven't we?
We might have. The other one I took out after first putting in was the Skeleton Key on imprint.
Oh, why'd you take it? Did that sell out real
we
fast?
We actually talked about that in the past when it was on a Mill Creek double
bill.
We
did.
Because I was putting it, I'm like, I swear we've talked about the Skeleton Key before. And then I went to, and we actually sold out. We sold four people.
A Skeleton Key.
Four people bought the Skeleton
that is a DVD
Key for $45.
That I see for $5.
I have that DVD. I mean, I think I got rid
of it. Wait, can we have the same conversation that we had before? She was like, isn't that the one directed by Stephen Hopkins? And you're like, no, that's not.
It's the one directed by Hacker's Man.
That's right.
Ian Softly. So I think we've already talked about Skeleton Key many, many times.
Yeah, maybe even twice.
I have a soft spot for Skeleton Key. So we're not going to talk about those.
We
the
also
other
have
one was
Terrorvision. American Nightmares.
Yeah.
And this one I did watch.
Yeah.
And
I was intrigued. I wanted to.
I think you would have liked it.
I think so too. Yeah.
So
it's that early 2000s kind of wave.
But it's like, it's an indie film. It's very interesting in the way they approach it, in that it's like a kind of a slasher, but there's no gore.
Okay.
And there's not really any set pieces. It's a mostly a kind of big piece for Debbie. I'm going to say her last name wrong. I'm going to say Rochon. But
I think it's Rochon. And I only know that because I watched her in an old reality show where she was like a guest judge. Scream Queens. And they said Debbie Rochon. So maybe they pronounced it wrong.
She was I was going to say she was. She is
a very
good actor.
Huge Scream Queen.
266 films.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was looking her up after
seeing
her. But like,
what are the big ones that me and you have seen?
I've
seen Terra Firma.
Stuff,
she's
right?
in that.
Yeah.
Yep. Terra Firma. Where she plays like a bad actor in that movie. And other than that, like, stuff released by Troma?
Troma stuff. I know there were some Full Moon titles. She's in the Troma Full Moon world.
Where was she in Full Moon films? I'm
sure
she is. I
can't remember. I looked her up at the time, but there were just an overwhelming amount of credits. But there were a few I picked out. I remember them. Like, oh, that's a Full Moon.
Because I don't think she was part of that, like...
It was mostly Troma, though.
Like Misty Monday.
No, I don't think she was part of that.
No. American Nightmare.
Yeah.
So basically the concept is seven very white mid-20-somethings? I don't know. They look like they're in the mid-30s.
Okay.
On Halloween night, see, this is why you should have watched it.
I know. I wanted to.
They call into a radio show, and they tell their fears to the radio show host in a very funny, friends-like bar. And then they all go their separate ways, and they each get killed one by one by Debbie over the night in whatever kind of like way that they talked about.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
There's no big twist either. So you don't even know why she's doing it.
Right.
Like I kept waiting for like, oh, there's going to be a big twist at the end. There's kind of something right at the end, but it's watching the excellent hour-long making of on the Blu-ray. The director says, oh yeah, we did that at like the last second because we had another twist. So we're like, oh, this makes her a pawn in something. We don't want to do that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But like, Debbie in the film, they talk about she went method the entire way, where she wouldn't talk to the actors. She would like, spy on them and be angry. The film is very stylish. It was made by a guy that at the time had never made anything. And he was a journalist, I think, mostly. And it's really interesting what he would go on to do after. He did like another Halloween film, Hallow's Eve, I think.
Okay.
That sounds like something that you would have seen. American Nightmare 2 is like, wow, I can't believe people are still talking about it to this day. I'm like, are they? I've never heard of this movie before.
I've never heard of it.
John Keyes, his new filmography is wild. And you didn't look this up? You've probably seen some of these films.
I didn't dig into American Nightmare.
So he's a guy that it's kind of like wild how many movies he's made afterwards that are not liked. One star, one and a half. There's movies called like Fall Down Dead, Phobia, Doom Room, Element.
Doom Room.
The Harrowing look familiar?
Okay.
But
I'm not recognizing these titles.
Like, look at this poster. This looks like something that.
Oh yeah,
seen
I mean,
somewhere.
It looks vaguely familiar.
But after that, he made Rogue Hostage in 2021, which is Tyrese Gibson and John Malkovich.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
Michael
but
J. White.
We had that. At
then
the
he made The Survivalist, which is Jonathan Rhys-Meyers and John Malkovich.
You know, we didn't talk about either of those.
And then
had
he made Codename Banshee, which is Jamie King and Antonio Banderas.
Wow. You know what? I haven't seen any of those. But I know of all three.
I know
of those.
That if you had seen those, you'd be like, "Oh, I gotta see this American Nightmare." Even
you know,
though
yeah.
Nobody likes those ones, but
no,
you know what?
Of course not.
I enjoyed the Blu-ray, I had a lot of fun. It's not a blind buy or anything, but yeah. I'm glad that I watched, especially the special features.
Hey, TerrorVision does a real good job.
Yep, TerrorVision treats every film like the best film ever.
Exactly,
which I rules.
Appreciate.
I love that.
Oh yeah, and we'll be talking about them again.
Even
a
though TerrorVision
bit later
is also getting into the Taiwanese martial arts scene,
they're just
and they were posting
so
like,
things
look
right
at all
now.
The color correction that I'm doing. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you're stealing my shtick, man.
I know.
I'm a little guy.
You're
that's
the original.
What I, do. Yeah.
I know. They're taking over your spot.
All right, and I can't compete. So next up, we have the Toxic Avenger Collection
in
4K
for the first time.
So,
well, I have a confession to make.
You've never seen this movie.
I've never seen a Toxic Avenger.
I am shocked you haven't seen one.
I have to admit, Troma is a huge blind spot for
me. Do you think it's because they're too smug?
I don't know. Maybe. I think.
But like,
when
if
I
you
was
go
a kid,
all the way back.
Or when I was a teenager, or whenever Poltergeist came out.
Yeah.
So I watched
that.
Well,
that's way late period.
I hated it.
Yeah.
And I know that's not the main Troma thing. But I just like turned me off and I just never got into Toxic. I've never seen Terrafirmer. I've never seen Tromeo and Juliet.
You know what? I don't know if you like them. They're very in your face. They're very poultry guys.
I will say, I'll watch the Toxic Avenger, especially since there's like a remake coming out now and everything. But I just, I've never gotten into it.
So I told the story before that I saw the first Toxic Avenger when I was sick one day with my dad and I was very scared of it and he only let me rent it because it was unrated. It wasn't rated R.
All
he didn't
right.
know what that meant.
That means it's good.
It's
a family film.
And there's a scene where a kid gets his head run over and my dad was like, I think it's when the woman was in the sauna masturbating to the photo of the kid getting her head run over. My dad was like, do you want me to turn this off? And I was like, yes, please.
How old were you at this point?
10, 11 probably.
Nice.
Yeah. That was the same week that I bought the Predator versus Batman Volume 2 in trade paperback.
Okay.
Very violent, very disturbing.
Wow.
And so from there, of course, I became a Troma head, kind of. It lasted for a little while, and then I was like, all right, that's enough of that.
Yeah. I've done my time.
You're not going to play any more new songs? All right, I'm out of here. But I only own these on the like really old DVDs that they put out.
Okay.
So right. I'd be willing to pay. I haven't watched them in 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is a nice looking set. I mean,
It's classic. I mean, it looks nice. Graphic design is my passion.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It's jumping out at me a little bit.
I'm sure they look like garbage.
Yeah, they probably don't look very good.
No.
4K?
You know what I love? I loved Lloyd Kaufman's book, Everything I Learned About Filmmaking, I Learned from the Toxic Avenger. Do you know why I love it?
Why?
It was ghostwritten by James Gunn.
Right.
Well, not, it says like Lloyd Kaufman and James Gunn,
okay.
But it's so clearly just James Gunn that wrote all of it, probably taking the anecdotes that Lloyd Kaufman gave him.
Right.
Which is why like I was so kind of entranced by just the way that he wrote, and it was so engaging.
Yeah. I have always been like had mad respect for Lloyd Kaufman, even if I haven't seen a lot of the films.
And I believe the Toxic Avenger 2 and 3 that I have on DVD was one day they did a screening at the Bloor, and because I worked there, he went, any Blu-ray or DVD you want to take off the table, just take it for free. And I was like, yes, please. And that was like bunches of them in my arms.
So how many of these movies are there? Just four?
Four. That's it.
For some reason, I thought there were more, but that's not too daunting.
I mean, the fourth one starts as Toxic Avenger. I mean, this is going to put you in a very specific place in time, early 2000s.
Okay.
It's a special needs class.
Oh, my God.
And at one point, some guys show up and start gunning them down, and Toxie uses them as human shields. Don't worry, they're clearly adults pretending to have...
Of course, of course. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I feel like I'm going to be like, this is like turning into a skeleton watching these movies over again. I'm excited to get back. I haven't bought a...
Okay.
What's last Troma DVD or Blu-ray? Vinegar Syndrome put a lot of their movies out.
Yeah.
So that's where I would have gotten
their classic stuff does well through Vinegar Syndrome. They're like, they release just a lot of new stuff now, and that stuff never sells for us.
No. I mean, you know what the last one on DVD I bought? The Nobodies.
Right.
On a DVD.
I have that. I've seen that.
So next up we have... Whoa, this looks a little beat up, Mark, this case.
I was just pulling a defective copy. Yeah, I don't know what's going on at Criterion. This is The Others. The
Nicole Kidman film.
Nicole Kidman.
Alejandro, you love this one? This feels like one that
you'd be
like...
I love this film.
Of course, I knew
I love this film. Oh, but yeah, this is just a defective copy. I don't know what's going on at Criterion, but we get some of these copies, and like, Justin seed it. Like, the artwork is all like crumpled up. Like,
and
inside
are you wondering,
the case.
Like
what's
is it supposed
on,
to be like the MVD Rewind one?
Oh, is it like, and then you see all the other copies. No, it's not supposed to be like that. I really like this film. And you know what? I watched it again recently because I hadn't seen it since I saw it theatrically.
And at the end, we were like, the twist got me.
Even though I had that two-disc set, that two-disc DVD set, we all had that. I don't think I'd watched it in full since I saw it theatrically.
I never had it.
No?
No, I saw it on VHS.
That was
littering
Blockbuster used bins everywhere.
What did this director go on to do again?
Well, he was the guy that made Open Your Eyes,
which
Vanilla Sky was
your favorite movie.
Well, that's what he hooked up with Tom Cruise. The reason this got made is because he, basically Tom Cruise saw Open Your Eyes, wanted to remake it, and then Amenabar gave him the script for The Others, and Tom Cruise helped produce it, got Nicole Kidman involved.
Cool.
And that was that. I remember liking it a lot when I was a kid, thinking it was really scary. I remember being a little underwhelmed by the twist as a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if I thought it was just like, it's just kind of like the Sixth Sense or something. Watching it again, though, and knowing the twist, I actually liked it a lot more. It's a lot more, it's not as scary, maybe, as I remember in theaters, but it's a lot more, like, sad and disturbing.
Yeah.
And I really like that. For, like, it's a real classic ghost story and just a beautiful production. I forgot how much money this made. This is, like, a huge box office hit, too.
Did the director ever do anything else after this?
He went on to do The Sea. I think this is the only English language film I think he's ever made. Because I think he went on to do The Sea Inside with Javier Bardem, which won some Oscars, I believe. He did Agora, that big, I guess that was English language with Rachel Weisz.
Yes,
big Greek epic.
Yeah. And that was the one that kind of tanked him after that.
Yeah, because I don't think that did well. He, I think, has done some stuff since, but I don't know.
Probably
I didn't
like
really
Netflix
keep up
TV
with him.
Stuff,
yeah,
I
was really into him for a while, like with Open Your Eyes, Thesis.
Oh, I love Thesis. Thesis is great.
Yeah, and then this I loved, and I was obviously a huge Vanilla Sky head, so that like bled back into that. This movie's great. I really like it, and it's just so gorgeous. Glad it finally has like a nice Blu-ray upgrade, 4K upgrade.
I was confused.
So.
This director was the guy who made The Orphanage.
Yeah, that's J.A. Bayona, which that also came out this week.
Yeah,
from
I don't
imprint,
got $80
but I don't really care about The Orphanage.
Really? You don't care about The Orphanage? I don't think I've ever seen
it. It's one of those movies like, you know, when everybody's like, this is the scariest movie of the year.
Yeah.
And I was like so psyched, went to see it in theaters, and I was like, nah, it's okay.
You know what else is the scariest movie? Roger Corman's Beast.
Hell
from
yeah.
You know what? I say Roger Corman. Technically, this is a Monty Hellman film.
Okay.
Because he directed it. Beast from the Haunted Cave, the less monster. I don't think any movie that has the monster on the poster has less monster than this, to the point that every time I watch it, I'm like, there is 2 minutes left. Is this monster going to show up?
Yeah,
it does,
okay.
At the end, it's like, but that's it. Fun movie. I really like Ski Troop Attack as well, which is included on this Blu-ray set by Film Masters, which is like a World War II Men on a Mission film that Roger Corman did direct.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Film Masters. They are my friends.
Your friends, Film Masters.
Yep. Love all their
formerly
releases.
Formerly the Film Detective.
Newly restored. And okay. So it's a two-disc special edition, too. They didn't put these movies on one disc.
Yeah, no, they're doing some nice work over
commentary
there.
Commentary on both of them. Original theatrical or archival elements, I think. And there's the 65-minute format and the extended 72-minute version. Do not watch the extended version. The extended version was only done because the TV stations demanded a certain amount of time. So it's just like people talking on phones or like walking across rooms. I don't know if they did a new scan for these. I'm looking here.
It says newly restored 4K scan right on the front.
Yeah, but
HD what does that
print.
Mean?
Yeah, you know what? It says newly restored. So there you go. You're just going to have to accept it. Complete with two companion essays by Tom Weaver and C. Courtney Joyner. That's cool. All right. Talking about people stealing my shtick, we did this ages ago with Roger Corman the auteur. Wait, we didn't have Beast from the Haunted Cave. We did have Ski Troop Attack as the hidden feature on it.
I forgot that was on. That sold very well for us.
Oh man, not for me.
No,
no.
Still have copies? We'll take them.
No, they're gone because that was one of those like 150
low
runs.
Low amount.
Next up, our friends.
Yeah, our real friends at Visual Vengeance. No,
they're super friends.
They're sending us copies.
Lycan Colony and Vampire and Other Stereotypes. Two movies I genuinely enjoy.
Yeah. I actually made an episode. I asked Justin which one I should watch because I have limited time. He said Lycan Colony, so I went for that first. Lots of fun. Lots of good werewolf shtick.
I mean, wait, that's all you have to say? Did you watch Out of Your Corner? This film
I did.
Is wildly... It's wild. Like, it's so wild. Like, the visual effects.
The effects were so good. The effects were my favorite part of it. Yeah.
This was a Red Letter Media discovery. They just found someone sent it to
that.
Them.
I mean, you can see why. It's perfect for that. It's that perfect, like, you know, it reminded me of Suburban Sasquatch.
That's that,
like,
exactly what it is.
Mid-2000s, like, it's that mid-2000s digital filmmaking with the cruddiest but most charming special effects.
Yeah, and it's just nonstop as well.
No, it's
just
nonstop.
Like,
it just doesn't stop going. It's almost like, you know, an underworld-y type
thing. I was going to say, it is our blind buy, but then you were pointing, you watched this one too, Vampires and Other Stereotypes?
Yeah, this wasn't our blind buy. We just watched.
Oh, that's right.
Told me to watch it. But I started to watch this. I didn't get all the way through it. This is kind of fun, too, though. Vampires and other stereotypes.
I think it's really fun.
What did you think? Yeah.
I've seen it before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, what do you think of it?
I think this movie is really fun because it's directed by my man, Kevin J. Lindemus.
Oh, right. I know that name.
Yes. Maybe because I'm constantly posting the book he wrote, which is Making Movies by Yourself.
Right.
And it's a photo of just him sadly standing beside a camera, which is such a funny book. Great book.
Yeah.
Interviews a bunch of filmmakers about what they use, how they do it. And this one, what I really like about it is, I looked at my old review. I actually started watching this again yesterday, too.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I agree with my old review. It moves like half the speed that you expect in a movie like this. But it's what these movies are never, very ambitious, where it's like a whole world that it's got. I don't know how far you got into this.
Only like half an hour. I was just
okay.
Like,
well, you ain't going anywhere else. Yeah, you're stuck in that warehouse.
No, it's funny. I mean, I liked the urban New York setting at first. I'm like, oh, this is almost like, you know, Larry Fessenden's Habit or something.
Now we're going to a warehouse.
We're just going to stay here. But it's fun. I'm fine with that.
So the gimmick is it's like two demon cops that like deal with demons get trapped in a warehouse with a bunch of human beings. And they try to figure their way out. And what I like about a movie like this is it's filled with like weird lore that's not explained. They're like, you did a blood sacrifice, which opened a portal to hell. Now we're in hell. And don't go in that pit because we don't know where that leads. All right, we got to wait till sundown. Did you notice that one of the cops has real like Brother of Kevin McGee energy?
Yeah.
One
actually,
of the guys is like,
I get that vibe.
Yeah, we are always kind of talking in a monotone. Not as charismatic as Kevin McGee.
No.
The New Jersey variant, the one that moved to New Jersey.
Speaking of complicated lore, though, just to go back to Lycan Colony for a sec, I think my favorite part was that flashback scene where they're like talking about like the lore of the werewolves and everything, but it starts on like the face of that lady and she just stares awkwardly into the camera for like 10 seconds until it fades out into the lore and goes back into her just awkwardly staring at the camera again for like 10 seconds.
Leg and Colony has so many visual effects. Like, I know. Barely holding on because they weren't keyframed correctly.
My God. Like the way the werewolf's kind of like scampering through the woods. It's just like all over the place.
Leg and Colony is a movie as well that the director was selling DVD for like $50 on eBay or something like that. And now it's out on Blu-ray.
Hell yeah.
I mean, people may like that includes a Riff Tracks version on the disc.
I don't care about
that. Yeah, not my take.
I can do my own Riff Tracks. Thank you very much.
Commentary with the director. A new interview with the director. Blooper reel. So basically everything that was on the DVD that was so hard to get. All here. Stickers. All these kinds of stickers.
I got extra stickers, too, with the package yesterday.
Vampires and Other Stereotypes. Now, I feel like they went all in on this one. There's a new transfer of the tape, and I could tell, the 1-inch master. There is 3 commentary tracks.
Whoa.
2 with the director, and he shares it with someone else. 1 with Tony Strauss of Weinstrauss Magazine. There's interviews with, and I've watched some of these, the director, an actor, 3, 4 actors.
Wow.
The makeup effects artist, another makeup effects artist, the photographer, publicist. There's even the director's early Super 8 films and director's commentary
on them
if you want.
Now this, ladies and gentlemen, is why Visual Vengeance is like one of the best labels going today. They are just going all out with these releases and for very reasonable prices.
Very reasonable
prices. These
are
like all under 30, you know? Whereas, we always say like the similar like Saturn's Core type stuff.
Vinegar Syndrome releases.
At least $10 more than that.
Yeah, they're like $40.
And they do a great job too, but like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you like what we like, this kind of stuff, like Colony, Vampire and Other Stereotypes, different enough.
Yep.
That like, easy recommendations. I love
how they always seem to release like 2 on the same day too. Like when they have
themed,
a release date.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like vampires, werewolves.
The Brett McCormick thing last time with both of those. And that's, I think, what they're doing next month too. They've always got. Like,
have they announced what they're doing next month?
They've got Scream Queen.
Okay.
Up the Linnea Quigley.
I'm not familiar with that
film
yet.
It's like early 2000s. I know. It could be.
Well,
I'm not sure.
Buy it.
Could go either way.
I'm gonna get
could go
it.
Either way. They've also got another one that I am blanking on now.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
there's definitely stuff coming.
There's definitely going to be a theme double pack coming soon, I think.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when is this coming, Justin?
I don't know.
I'm starting to think you were lying to me. You're not actually.
I was talking
doing
to like
Visual
someone
Vengeance
that didn't
work
for Visual Vengeance.
Yeah, you got duped. You actually did all this work, and it's like, wait a second.
I got paid for it, so I'm good.
There you go. That's fine. That's all that matters.
They're swerving. Maybe there's going to be a swarm of like TerrorVision.
Yeah,
they're all
going to
be doing these kinds of movies all at once.
Hey, I'm into it.
And then I'm there.
I'm into it.
Hey, I have some too. It's like, get out of my way.
Get out of here.
It's like The Simpsons where it's like the little lamb was like, aww.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
little
yeah.
lamb. They push it away. Aww. Get out of here.
Yeah.
And then speaking of TerrorVision, we have Cannibal Campout.
Yeah, we're back to TerrorVision. And this is this is up your alley. This is another Camp Motion Pictures re-release.
I should have maybe taken this one off after I watched it.
Yeah, I asked you, do you want any TerrorVision release? And you're like, nah, you want that one that's coming out soon, the Jeff LeRoy one.
Yes.
But with any of the other ones, you're like, no. But then you came in and you bought this. You seemed excited. But
I did, because I was
not
like,
not so much.
I looked into it and I was like, John McBride went on to work with the Polonias.
Okay.
But he didn't work with them early on.
Oh.
Yeah. Campbell Campout is part of that, like, Camp Motion Picture, almost like trilogy, which is Cannibal Campout, Woodchipper Massacre, which Sean McBride also directed, and Splatter Farm. I always associate them together.
Yeah.
Cannibal Campout, iconic cover art.
Yeah.
Which is not a steal from the movie.
Makes me want to watch it.
It's not a steal. It's done only for the VHS art. It's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre ripoff that's just really mean.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, just kind of like the characters just being tortured by the villains. No villain gets any comeuppance in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah. So it's not really my thing. Okay. You know what? Some people love it.
Some people like it. I've been selling some copies.
Yep.
So are they going to do Splatter Farm, do you think?
If they do it, though, will they allow them to put out the original cut of Splatter? Because if it's just the recut of Splatter Farm, no thank you.
I would think if TerrorVision was doing it, they'd go all out.
There's some nudity in that is maybe not completely legal in that film.
Yeah, you were mentioning. I remember.
But that's the version you have to watch.
Yeah.
Do you want the version where the Polonia brothers are like, where the fuck are we going? And then it just hangs on them for a second. Then it cuts to the next guy, and there's a second, and he goes, I don't fucking know. That's the version I want. I don't want the version that's like 2010, like visual effects and stuff like that.
Stop redoing the effects, recutting your films.
I think they recut it just for those reasons, and then they can't put it on VHS, though. Like the original cut was on.
There's never been a Blu-ray though, right?
Nope, never a Blu-ray. Yeah, they must be. Terror must be working their way.
They must be, right? Somebody's got to.
When is there going to be the wave of Polonia Brothers like on Blu-ray releases?
No.
Ooh, Blood Red Planet. That must be fun, right?
No.
I was recently watching an interview. I think it was on a Visual Vengeance disc, and I was like, this is a little oddly edited. Like, there would be like images that would like pop up randomly. Yeah. And I was like, I wonder, Mark Polonia edited this. He's doing special features. Awesome. Love
Great.
It.
Good for him. Working, so, man.
You know what? Maybe it's coming to Visual Vengeance. Because Visual Maybe. Vengeance, those guys work with the Polonias all the time on new movies.
I just thought because Terror Vision's released a couple camp ones now, right?
So I don't know if camp owns the... Who knows? Filmmakers, we'll for the love of everything, do not sign lifetime deals with companies.
Please don't.
Please don't. It's not worth it. There's distribution ways that you can do yourself.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah,
do the Golden Ninja Video
anymore.
Way, where I don't own your movie. I just release it on Blu-ray.
Exactly.
That's it.
That's how it should be for everybody.
But then the distributors are like, but how are we supposed to? Blue Underground would not exist if they didn't own like lifetime rights to.
What would they put out if not the same
the
like
final
20
countdown,
movies over
zombie.
And over again?
Yeah. Well, they'd have William Lustig's films.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Next up, we have Visible Secret. Ooh. Now, I was going to watch Radiance one for this title. Podcast, and I looked at my Letterboxd, and I was like, I have seen this. I have no memory of it. I did a podcast on Ein Hoy.
Okay.
I watched it, and I liked it. That's all I have to say about it.
I watched half an hour of this because I was doing something, and I really liked it, though.
Yeah.
I really liked what I saw, and I will get back to it. Definitely perfect vibes for Halloween, mm-hmm. I thought.
Well,
it's
not Halloween anymore.
Funny. I know, but we're going to pretend it's still Halloween. Ooh. These all came out before Halloween, so yeah.
Dylan Chung essay in the booklet that came with this Radiance film release.
Yeah.
So my pal would recommend.
Is this a bit, they made some sequels to this, right?
She didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
That's why.
This is cool, though. No, I really liked it. I liked
the half hour that you watched.
That
are you like a tastemaker? You only watch half hour Vampire and Other Stereotypes, half hour Visible Secret.
No, I just literally was time reasons.
Your
I
partner
like,
came I, in and she's like, there's new Real Housewives to watch.
Yeah, see, that always takes precedence. No, I just, with this, I had the disc out, but I had to bring it back because we were using it as a rental and just, I never had time. I was away and everything. There was excuses. I had excuses.
Nothing but excuses.
But I will say, if I'm watching something on like Tubi and like half an hour in, I'm like, I'm not really enjoying this. I'll shut it off, but I won't, talk about it or disparage it or anything.
Next up, we have Palmetto, and it's this week's Blind Buy.
I thought this was up your alley because I know you like this neo-noir stuff,
But don't you like neo-noir stuff?
Not as much as you,
I mean,
feel like.
Do I love it? Am I a neo-noir guy other than
For
buying
some reason,
those expensive box sets?
I thought we had
sets?
A conversation at one point with you saying you really like neo-noir stuff, but maybe I'm wrong.
Were you sure it was not Brendan Roth? I like neo-noir stuff.
No, I thought you liked it.
But you know what?
Maybe when we're talking about Mobland or something.
I think I enjoyed this more than the film you originally picked up for a Blind Buy, which I started
watching. We'll get to that. We'll get to
which
that.
Which is the last movie
You
have
started
on.
Watching that. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk.
It's on Tubi. So
yeah, I know. That's what,
all right, time to
that's
do my homework, my penitence.
Okay.
But Palmetto
I almost wish you'd watch the other one now, I have to say.
I thought that this is something that would have been right up your alley. Like you said, it's all your favorite actors.
Yeah,
Gina
this is
Gershon.
A weird one. For some reason, this was a huge bomb, I think, when it came out. But for some reason, I remember this just being like everywhere when I was a kid. Like I remember the ads.
Never heard of it before.
I remember the ads in the newspaper. I remember seeing trailers. I remember posters in the video store. And I always
people had Palmetto fever.
Yeah, I just wanted to see it.
Woody Harrelson.
And I never did. Well, look at this
finally
guy. Woody
brought.
Harrelson. Elizabeth Shue, I love her. Gina Gershon, love her. Chloe Sevigny is in this. Love her. And it's directed by Volker Schlondorf.
The director of the Tin Drum.
The Tin Drum.
And then a bunch of garbage nobody likes.
I know. I have to admit, maybe my cinephile card should be revoked because I don't think I've seen it. This might be the only Volker Schlondorf
film I've
seen.
You haven't seen Swan in Love, the Jeremy Irons adaptation of the Proust?
I haven't. I've never seen the Tin Drum. I know. I should see the Tin Drum. But...
You're good.
I've never seen The Death of a Salesman that he did. I feel like everybody.
Seen that.
I thought people watched that in high school or something.
Probably, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, me neither.
But this is him like running on fumes and making a film for Castle Rock, Rob Reiner's company.
Yep. Late 90s.
No style, really, in this movie.
So, I have to admit, when I watched this and I finished it, I was like, I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. I think Justin's going to like that. I log on to Letterboxd, and I see your 2.5-star review, and you're like, real wild things at home. Now, I will admit, I thought this, this came out the same year as Wild Things, and I'm like, Wild Things kind of just, like, killed this movie, right?
Completely.
Like, I like this movie, but I love Wild Things.
Yeah.
And Wild Things is, like, parodying kind of
what
this is.
Yes.
So it's kind of like,
there's no satirical bone in this
right,
movie's
body.
It's
like, if Wild Things didn't exist, I think I would like this even more. Yeah. But for what it is, I had a good time with it.
Yeah, it's
I'm not going to lie.
Elizabeth Shue really wants to have sex with Woody Harrelson.
I know, yeah.
Her performance is wild.
Everybody wants to have sex with Woody Harrelson, but that's kind of the classic.
I think at one point they're like, oh, you're balding. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I know, right? apparently, somebody else was going to be playing. Who was it? I was in the trivia. There was somebody else that they wanted for that. Oh, Ray Liotta. They apparently wanted Ray Liotta for that.
That makes sense. But he's been in like tons of these neo-noir kind of things.
Yeah.
So. And I kept waiting for there to be like more twists. Maybe that's the like wild
things. It kind of progresses how you'd expect it to. Like, there are a series of twists at the end, but they're not that shocking.
There's a really funny scene where Michael Rappaport falls
in
a vat of acid.
Oh, yeah, Michael Rappaport's in it? Yeah. See, I thought you'd have... I appreciated that. I thought it got pretty fun at the end.
Yeah, it's fine.
I love Michael Rappaport. He was funny in it. It just had every... I liked the Florida setting. It just had everything.
It's almost 2 hours long.
It was long, but
I
didn't feel the length. I think Wild Things is...
I mean, it's got
Who
so
knows?
Much movie that
it's
the
so
twist
much movie,
play in the end credits.
I mean, Wild Things is a masterpiece. Yeah. Let's call it what it is. This is the kind of movie that Wild Things was like, you know, riffing on, right? I don't know. Yeah,
so you're happy with your blind buy? I'm disappointed.
I'm mildly happy with my blind buy. I didn't think this was obviously the masterpiece that my 13-year-old self thought it might be, but I had some fun with it.
Wait, did you see it at 13 and you thought it was a masterpiece?
No, I just thought it would be really cool. I really wanted to see it.
About it.
I really wanted to see it when I was a kid. I thought it would be really cool, and it was okay. It was kind of cool. It was semi-cool.
Next up, we have Before Night Falls. Never seen it.
Never seen this one, eh?
No.
Yeah, I just put this on because I really like Julian Schnabel, and I remember liking
this
film a lot.
Wait, what else did he do?
He did The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Right.
He did Basquiat.
Who can forget The Diving Bell and the Butterfly? Parodied on the Treehouse of Horror Simpsons episode.
Did they parody that?
Yeah, they did a whole skit.
I love The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, and I really love this film, but I haven't seen it since it came out. I kind of forgot about this movie altogether.
It sounds like one of the most critically acclaimed films of all
time. I remember Javier Bardem was nominated for an Oscar for it. I remember, you know, being a huge Johnny Depp head at the time.
Oh, he's in this.
Johnny Depp's in this. It is a really great film, but it's just one of those movies that like was really well acclaimed at the time and then kind of just, I feel like, got forgotten.
Mm.
But I really like Julian Schnabel. Good filmmaker.
Next up, we have Lolita. And speaking of filmmakers you love, Adrian Lin, right?
I love him. And I love this version of Lolita.
Really?
I think I like this version better than the Stanley
Kubrick
version.
No one likes the Kubrick version, though. Not really, deep down. They like the Peter Sellers performance.
I will say...
You're like, I'm a, you know, what are they called? Keep the source text. She needs to be young.
Well, I agree that because I love the book.
Yeah.
And I do think the Kubrick movie kind of gets the book wrong a bit. And I think this version gets at what the darkness of the book a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I will say. But it has been a while since I've seen it. You know, Dominique Swain. I feel like Dominique Swain was everywhere when I was a kid, too.
And now she's everywhere in those
DTV movies. Yeah, which is great. But I thought she was really good in it. I don't know. I just really liked this movie at the time. But it has been years since I've seen it. So I wonder how it holds up in this day and age. Do love Adrian Lin, though. Big
imprint.
Big fan.
Why is this one $32.95?
So
the one that I want is $44.95.
Because this is a standard edition repress. So this actually came out as a limited edition last year. But we only got like two copies. We never talked about it because we only got like two copies. We didn't get enough in to even fulfill our pre-orders. That was when they were really like selling out that fast. So what they're doing is they're reprinting their stuff. So they just did it with that big Zhang Yimou Gong Li set. It's like a reprint of it now.
They did?
Yeah, everybody who paid like $300 for that back in the day.
How much is
the
new one?
$175.
That's still pretty
expensive.
Still
pretty expensive, but a lot cheaper than it was.
Next up, we have more imprint films.
A lot of imprints.
Never seen it. The William Friedkin movie.
Really? No. I'm shocked. No interest?
Seemed unpleasant when I was a kid. I was too young. I think I was in high school when this came out.
No, we were...
2006. No, I was in college.
Yeah, because
I remember seeing
I saw it theatrically.
Because I have a vague memory of reading about this in like newspaper. Man, yeah. I'd be so excited on the Fridays to get to school and like open up the newspaper
to see
new movies coming out.
Yeah, and just go and see something. I remember being so hyped for this because I liked William Friedkin and I just thought it sounded really cool. It was kind of like an indie project. And then I have to admit, I was a little disappointed at the time. I remember liking it, but thinking it was a little underwhelming. It really is just like two people going crazy in
a
hotel
room.
Yeah. Together and like losing their mind, which is interesting, but I kind of found it a bit tedious when I was that age. I'd like to revisit it though. I know people really, really like this one, but It is out now, and it is written by Tracy Letts, who I believe would also write Killer Joe.
Yes,
for him,
he would.
Right?
And he's an actor. He appears in tons of
stuff. I like Tracy Letts.
Because he's mostly a playwright. This was a
he
play.
Is. Yeah, he's a playwright first, but he's an actor. He's in Todd Solondz.
Going to see plays is such a like foreign concept to me, where it's like, isn't it really expensive to go see a play? Like,
not if you go to like, you know,
$80
stuff or something, like, you know.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of
fringe
stuff.
There's like people, the idea of theater is like a big like musical show at like
that I love.
Yeah. I don't know.
Instead of one person. I have seen a lot of plays where people are like just on stage, because it was when I first moved to Toronto, there were years where I'm like, I'm going to see as much fringe stuff as I can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, no more, please.
No more. Done.
Yeah. Fringe always happens now where I'm like, wait, fringe happened? What do you know?
Yeah, I haven't been to fringe in years.
Our pal Peter Kapowski, he sees plays all the time.
Oh, that's cool.
He's a big musical, but he is a big musical guy
like
now.
He sees big productions.
But he also sees little productions in Toronto as well.
That's cool.
I'm like, how do you know about this? Where do I have to go?
Yeah, I think I'm just not keyed into that world. I wish I knew more about what was going on.
Next up, we have Wind Chill.
So you're excited for this one, eh?
Have you seen Wind Chill?
I have. I saw it when it came out.
I like Wind Chill.
I thought it was good. This is related to Steven Soderbergh.
It is, because it's directed by his producer, Gregory Jacobs.
Who I really liked at the time, because I remember liking Criminal a lot. I've
never seen it. Is that the one with spelled with a K?
No, that's the one that was a remake of Nine Queens, that Brazilian film. You
don't
remember
don't
that?
Know
it was
that.
John C. Reilly, Diego
nope.
Luna. It was the first one he directed.
Oh.
And then, so I remember liking that. This was his follow-up and his horror movie. I'm like, great.
Christmas? Yeah.
A couple people are stuck.
I don't even remember what the movie's about. I think
so
it's just...
she's driving, Emily Blunt, driving home with some other guy. Like her,
isn't it Jesse Eisenberg? No.
No, guy who looks like Jesse Eisenberg. The guy
Ashton Holmes.
Guy from History of Violence, the son in that.
Yeah.
Their brother and sister, I think, or something. Anyways, they break down.
No, they're just friends.
Oh, they're just
because,
friends.
Because, yeah, she's catching a ride with
right.
him. Because
It's been a while. But they break down. Yeah, the car breaks down in the middle of nowhere. It's like snowy night and basically
ghosts.
Creepy shit starts
or something.
Happening.
Is it all a dream at the end? I don't remember.
I don't remember. I remember not thinking it was that great, to be honest. But you like this?
Yeah,
movie
I liked
a lot?
It.
Yeah, I remember thinking it was okay, but...
You know, maybe you go back and be like, you know what?
I don't remember how it ended, though. Yeah, what was the twist?
It feels like it's a ghost.
It feels like the kind of movie where they're like, they're already dead.
Steven Soderbergh,
like,
executive produces film.
Yes.
And
I think
then
he did all the Gregory.
He would let Gregory Jacobs take the credit on Magic Mike XXL.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah. Did Gregory Jacobs really direct that movie?
Hard to
when
say.
Steven Soderbergh is shooting it and editing it and producing
it.
Yeah,
that's the thing with the Gregory Jacobs stuff. Did
you think Steven Soderbergh ghost directed on this one?
Maybe. God, George Clooney's even a producer on this too.
Wow.
I remember this, just like this coming out and like, Clint Mansell did the score. A lot of like great talent behind it. And then I watched it and I'm like,
this one doesn't really have that many fans.
But it's been selling fairly well though, surprisingly. Interesting choice for imprint to put out.
Oh, man, now we're getting waist deep in Double Danger. Wait, I haven't seen either of these movies.
I have seen... This is a double bill of Waist Deep and Drop Squad, which is kind of a Von D. Curtis Hall double bill.
Who's that?
He is an actor. He's this guy. You know this guy, right? He's a bottom guy.
Yeah, vaguely.
He's in tons of stuff. He's also a director. He made.
Did he direct both these movies?
He directed Waist Deep. He acts in Drop Squad.
Okay.
He also directed Gridlocked, the Tupac Tim Roth film.
Oh, yep.
And he also directed Glitter with Mariah Carey.
Never seen it.
A little film called Glitter. Anyways, I'd seen Drop Squad a while ago. Drop Squad's a weird one. It's a Spike Lee produced movie. It's a very like Spike Lee type movie where it imagines this like alternate present or something where there's like a group of black men, black activists named the Drop Squad, and it stands for demilitarization and
good luck, keep going.
I can't
let it left.
Anyways, it's about they go after black men who have kind of like assimilated into white culture and dropped their values and everything. So Eric LaSalle is kind of like an office worker guy who's like trying hard to be part of white culture. So this Drop Squad, which is Von D. Curtis Hall, it's Ving Rhames, a few other actors, they kind of kidnap him and try and deprogram him. That's what it is, like deprogramming and something. Not that successful, I remember. It seems like the kind of movie that if Spike Lee had directed it, it would have like even more fire. But the guy who directed it was just like an editor or something. I don't think he directed anything else. D. Clark Johnson. Waist Deep, Fun little action movie, though. It's basically
never seen it.
Tyrese.
Yep.
He is an ex-con, fresh out of prison. He's got a young son. He gets carjacked with the son in the car.
But how
car.
Hungry is he? Like in the Fast and Furious movies.
He's pretty hungry. He's pretty okay. hungry in this one. This is notable for also starring The Game.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who The Game is?
Nope.
He's a very popular rapper.
Oh, yes,
rapper.
Of course. That thing to pick up women, right?
He's part of G-Unit. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it Game Unit?
The Game. No.
Wait, was it Game
you
Unit?
You really don't know
G-Unit?
Who The Game is.
I have no idea.
Really, eh?
No.
You don't remember the song Hate It or Love It?
Nope. How does it go? Sing it for me.
Or Hate It or Love It, the underdog's on top. No, you don't know that song.
There's no melody in that song. I get the one version.
Very popular, The Game and 50 Cent song from like the mid-2000s. It was on Much Music all the time. Justin's looking so bored as I'm talking about this. Anyways, The Game plays like the big bad guy who's got like Tyrese's son. I had fun with this. I actually had never seen this, always wanted to, but it was on Netflix and I threw it on the other day and I had a good time.
Oh, Tyrese.
Tyrese plays a character named O2 in it because that was like his gang name in the back.
I feel so bad for Tyrese. Starring in these like just terrible DTV.
Well, this was from the mid 2000s. This was a theatrical film.
Yeah, yeah.
This was from Rogue. Remember the company Rogue Pictures?
Yes, I do. Did they release Rogue, the movie?
Yeah,
with
a giant crocodile alligator. Didn't think they did that. This is a Mill Creek special, though.
All right,
so.
It's time to talk about Mark's favorite director now.
Yeah,
Red Dragon.
I loved this movie when it came out.
I know. I think you said this before.
I saw it theatrically. I was really into the whole Hannibal Lecter thing at the time.
You couldn't wait for Hannibal Rising.
I didn't have a problem with Brett Ratner at the time. I mean, obviously, I was a big Rush Hour fan. It was just funny to me because he had just done like Rush Hour and like Money Talks and like comedies and stuff. And then he's like, why did they pick him to direct a Hannibal?
Because he was the hottest director ever.
He was just the hottest director at this time, right?
So much money.
I remember thinking this was pretty great. I mean, obviously, so it's the same story as Manhunter, which was originally called Red Dragon.
Yes, that's right. The book's called Red Dragon.
I thought this was pretty fun at the time. I also loved Edward Norton at the time, and it's got a good cast. Ralph Fiennes, Harvey. I thought Ralph Fiennes was pretty scary in this as whatever the villain's called.
Hey, man, I was a Brett Ratner fan as well.
The Tooth Fairy.
Thanks to the Rush Hour movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I didn't like any of his movies. I didn't like After the Sunset. I didn't like Red Dragon.
After the Sunset's terrible, yeah.
And then I didn't see Tower Heist.
Nah, I think I dropped off him after the Sunset.
I love the special features on this, which were on the DVD, the two-disc golden package DVD.
I had that.
Director's Journey documentary.
Don't you want to know Brett Ratner's Director's Journey?
Ugh.
So
yeah.
you've seen this, I assume?
When it came out. Didn't like it. I thought it was bland.
I like the scene where...
And bad.
Because Philip Seymour Hoffman's in it. He plays the reporter who's on the case. I like the scene where he gets, like, kidnapped and then, like, put in a chair and he gets lit on fire and, like... You don't remember that?
Down a hill. Isn't he in a wheelchair or something?
Yeah, he's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's pretty good.
It's weird that...
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously not as good as Manhunter.
No.
I'm sure it would suck nowadays, but at the time, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. This is pretty good stuff.
I'm going to keep my eye on this Brett Ratner guy.
Yeah.
How was After the Sunset so bad? Like, Pierce Brosnan...
I was so ready for that movie, too. Love Pierce Brosnan. And like, wanted just a fun time, heisty type
movie. Just lame.
So lame. That was the moment, I think, with... Brett Ratner was like, wow, this guy really sucks.
He's got nothing.
This guy's got nothing as a director.
Next up, we got No Pain, No Gain. Vile.
All right, so this was going to be the original
Blind Buy.
I suggested this because I'm like, you know what? I couldn't see anything else. I forgot Palmetto was on the list. And I was like, you know, torture porn. I'm sure Justin's going to hate this, but it's got an interesting credit.
It's directed by Taylor Sheridan.
His directorial debut, long before he wrote Sicario and created Yellowstone, did all that stuff that I don't really care about.
What was the one that he did with Jeremy Renner or solving
Wind River.
Indigenous murders?
Yeah, Wind River. Like, that was the only other, because he usually doesn't direct. He usually just writes.
Yes, but he also wrote what's the one with one of the Chris's and their band?
Oh,
Robert?
Hell and High Water.
I like that one a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was fine.
And he does Yellowstone now. I love those
movies.
People
love.
Man, these movies are kind of conservative. Sicario and
Wind River, Hell and High Water.
Yep.
A little bit. Hell or High Water. Sorry.
But now we're back. We're going back to Vile. His first
2011.
He's setting down his thoughts.
Well, I did read too in the who knows if this is right or not, but he only directed this as a favor to the screenwriter, who is also the lead actor in it.
Eric Beck. That's always, you know, perfect.
That's always the case. Yeah. So apparently they were friends.
Recipe for success.
So it seems like, I feel like if you asked Taylor Sheridan about this movie today, he'd be like, what are you talking about?
Also, unions are bad and I write every episode of Yellowstone, so I don't need any.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
No.
So he's like, I don't have a writer's room. I write every Yellowstone script. It's like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, he's kind of been branded the conservative auteur.
He loves it.
I don't know. Does he? I thought I read an interview where he said, my stuff's not conservative.
Well, every conservative artist that says,
I thought he said,
I've
got a lot of progressive stuff in there.
I don't pick any sides. Left, right. Yeah. I just tell stories.
Well, then this is fine. I don't know how far into this you got. So basically, the plot of this is very Saw-like. Bunch of people get kidnapped, wake up in a room together. They got these like apparatuses on their heads with these vials that are stuck into their brains. And they're told by this like very Jigsaw-like voice on the video that they have to produce dopamine, serotonin, and adrenaline, enough of it to be able to be released. And the only way they can do it is to like torture each other collectively. So they have to get this collective amount because that's where like it comes from.
But as Mark pointed out, there's another way to get that stuff.
And I only found this because somebody who's in the IMDb trivia for this movie is very petty because they're like,
oh, there are tons
actually, you know, the other way you can produce these things, and I looked it up, and it's true, is through having sex.
Yeah.
And they don't mention that at all. I'm like, they could have just had like a big orgy and like gotten out of here. Wouldn't that have been?
Do you think the mastermind would have liked that? Or he's like, hey, stop it. Don't do that.
I know. But then I saw some review of it at the time, I think from like Bloody Disgusting. The guy made a good point too, being like, because everybody's thought of this apparently. And the guy said, yeah, not only that, you could have even made this a more interesting movie and had it be either the pain
or the pleasure
sex. But you could have, because there's like relatives and stuff, like you could have it be like
you have to have
and
sex
your
with
sister
your brother or
sister, your brother or something. Wouldn't that be more interesting? They don't do that at all. So basically they just immediately start picking up hammers
and like
pliers
each other,
and like, all right, strap me down. The funniest thing though, talking about, you know, his politics and stuff, when they get the rules and everything, one of the ladies is like, well, I think the men should take the brunt of the pain or whatever, and one of the guys is like, no. Okay, we're all in this together. I don't want any of this feminist shit in here. If I have to torture every woman in here to get out of here, so be it.
Yikes. Also, if we
it's not a joke
if
or
we do it all equally, that would be the feminist doing of this.
That would
so
be, right?
You're right, man. This
you
is
are
the
right.
Feminist.
So he is feminist. He's the feminist.
No, he didn't burst into flames.
Wow, big brain. Complex shit
galaxy,
going on here.
Galaxy
oh,
brain.
My God, yeah.
Well, it's finally out on Blu-ray.
But then, you know, that leads to a lot of women getting punched and beaten up by the men. So, you know, it's that kind of thing.
Is there a big twist?
So the twist is so obvious, man.
Okay.
Well, there's not really a twist. Like, it is what it is. It's just like some game. Because I think the people who put them in here are trying to harvest it to make drugs or whatever.
Oh, adrenochrome.
Yeah. Anyways, but the twist is that like one of them is involved in it, which
shit.
You kind of think from the beginning, and it's exactly the guy you think it is. or girl, sorry, spoiler alert. No, it's one of the guys.
Yeah.
Did you actually watch some of this?
No,
I
didn't. I
thought you said you watched
it. I got it off Tubi, was ready to do it, and then he said, let's watch Palmetto instead.
I almost wish you would have. I should have
said
you would have hated it, though, because it's like so boring.
Oh, this is boring, and it's mostly torture. Not for me. There's a Justin DeClue review.
Funniest thing to me, though, I laughed out loud. This legit starts with a quote from Gandhi.
That's so funny.
Of something like, the root of violence is science without humanity, or something like that. I'm like, wow, you guys are going for it. You guys are going for it. Anyways, this is out from MVD now.
It's not part of their marquee collection?
It is. It's the MVD marquee collection. This is a marquee title.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode of the Bay Street Video Podcast. Until next week, my name's Justin DeClue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting.
Saw rip-offs.
Torture porn.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
I have watched so many Saw rip-offs over the last I just keep coming up. There's a new Neil McDonough movie that just came out theatrically.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, I know.
A Jesus movie?
You think so, because it's from a company called Faith Media Distribution, so I'm like, oh yeah. But it's actually not. It's called Soulmates, though.
It sounds a lot like a G. Isn't the cover really funny of him, like, in a
basically
suit?
It's like two people wake up and it's like a Saw, but like a matchmaking thing, so they like have to like
how many
fall
Saw
in love
ripoffs do you think you can mention off the top of your head? I got some deep cut. Oh, Live Feed.
Live Feed. Would You Rather. You ever see
Would
that?
You Rather. What is the one? Is it like Miss Popular Mechanics for Kids, Girl Next Door?
Oh, Captivity.
Captivity. That's a Larry Cohen script.
That was...
No. I was thinking something else.
No, that's something else. That was more of like almost a Hostel type thing. You know, there wasn't really much of a game to that. There's got to be a game
game?
Isn't that like the Saw? I feel like there's torture porn, like Hostel type stuff. But the Saw, like, you got to have the game in there. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. Oh, you need the game. It can't just be
game.
Torture.
You need the game.
So Live Feed would be a Hostel ripoff, not a Saw ripoff.
Yeah, I guess so. But like, Would You Rather, that's like people in a house and they play gross Would You Rather or whatever.
Oh, then I don't know if I'm going to have that many torture game movies.
Yeah, it's like torture game ones. I feel like there were some more recently. I was like, I've been watching so many. Now I can't think of any. Would You Rather and Soulmates. Soulmates is definitely...
All right, I'm going to name a bunch here.
You got some up?
Yeah, okay. I just searched... The Collector of the Collection.
It's just because they're like...
The same. They were supposed to be Saw movies.
Thing, right?
Oh, Escape Room, technically.
Yeah, Escape Room could be there. It's just not as gross or anything.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like a letterbox
list. Just looking. Yeah, look through my letterbox. I definitely saw more.
Did you write an article about...
Just about Scream Queens, but I definitely... I just happened to be...
Man, there's, to my knowledge, I'm looking here, no just Saw ripoff list. Come on, guys, get on it, Letterboxd.
Yeah, where's the Saw ripoff list?
So there needs to be a game.
Maybe I was just watching a lot of Saw movies because of the new one coming out or something.
Yeah, you need to be caught up.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Now, you don't like that movie.
Which
Our friend Mike Wood doesn't like that movie. Peter Kaplowski loves that movie. And he's like, you got to see it.
The new Saw?
The new Saw.
I don't understand it. I don't understand.
I haven't seen it yet.
I would love to talk to Peter Kaplowski about it because I thought...
He's like, it's like Fast Five. They all come back. And I was like, I don't think they come back in the way you think they come back.
I don't think so. I don't think it's as good in the way they come back as he thinks.
And he tried to make the argument that, like, I'm like, I don't want to see it. It's between two movies. And he's like, yeah, but so is Fast Five. I'm like, that is not the same thing that it's between movies.
I think I was disappointed because I had fallen off the Saw series. Like, I only saw up to 4 when they were first coming out. And then the new one was coming out, and I was writing this other kind of article. So I was like, all right, I'm going to catch up. And I had more fun with, like, 5, 6, 7, 8 than I thought I would. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'm getting back into this series again. And then 10 just, like, killed it for me. It's too long. You can't have a Saw movie that's 2 hours.
You can't.
Too long. But it's coming out soon, so I guess we'll
Do it on the
You gotta watch it before we talk about it.